God is that test bench, So it's coming too. Eventually, what's going to happen is that after all this time, my guess is that once we trigger one, the other one will trigger, and all of a sudden, both of those will be back. So. Next question.
Hello, I'm Alex.
Alex, what are you doing?
I've been a huge collector of your toys for since Series 1.
Okay.
And now with you doing the website to be able to sell some of the toys, because I used to work in the games, and they all sort of disappear and stuff like that. It's really hard for that. So are you also possibly going to be selling some of the really popular older ones as well?
Well, a couple things. We'll go back and reissue some of the older ones that are kind of hard to find, and we'll do newer versions of them. The toughest thing right now is it's been a lot of years since we made them. We've moved to a lot of factories in China, and right now what we're doing is an audit to actually find those molds, and some of them are just nobody knows where they're at.
Yeah.
So so we're going to be limited by what it is we actually have, and then if we can't find some of the popular ones, we'll just actually just do some new ones and cut some new molds and do some bigger versions of those. Yeah.
Hey, my name's Ruben. This is a question in regards to the Hulk guys.
Okay, that's Joe and Nathan.
I've read the first two volumes of the book. Love it, by the way. It's really great. The whole thing that I was wondering is, the contrast between, the Kilgore brothers is the fact that at one point, the priest, if you ever, kind of realize, I kind of like the power. Why do I still need you, though? I know I still need you to become haunt, but you got to play with that kind of deal. Why do I put up with you?
Well, yes. you say on the first two pages of our first issue that we have sort of like a long-range plan for this character and how he's going to evolve. I mean, what you see now is not a sort of the final version of how this, about the haunt creature and the sort of symbiosis of these two brothers evolve and sort of go somewhere. Not necessarily a very nice place. There's more things at stake than just, hey, we're going to go out and, do spy shit. There's a sort of a wider... It's just the fact that inherent in the concept is a guy back from the dead, so that sort of indicates that there's a wider sort of universe out there, and there's sort of bigger plans, and there's bigger machinations than just... it's not just a one-off thing, and we're going to see the character evolve into something that is pretty interesting, but not necessarily. That's the thing about Todd's characters, Spawn and Haunt. These are not characters that have a lot to do with morality. They're sort of this very gray areas of human existence. Sometimes they are on the side of the angel, sometimes they're not on the side of the angel. And so we're going to amp up the horror of the book. We're going to show the darker side of just the situation of having two brothers, one dead, one alive, how they sort of work together. And so it's going to get a lot darker and a lot more sinister.
You guys are doing past relationships. I know we have the ex-wife that they both have to deal with. So any past relationships when they were younger that come into play?
We're going to have, every so often we'll have a guest artist come in and do flashback stories. We are going to get into some past things. Because what I like about, like I said, the first 18 issues introduce you to this world, introduce you to a lot of characters, a lot of toys to play with. So our mission is to sort of fill in that world and fill in backstories of different characters and not just the Kilgore brothers too. There's going to be other characters that we bring in and bring back. We'll see their past, we'll see their histories. So it's going to be, hopefully, a few years down the line, we'll have really filled in a lot of details in this world. So it'll seem like these characters are fully realized, you really know them, you know where they came from, you know where they've been. So that's kind of what we're doing. Just so you guys know, I've been having on and off conversations with a lot of producers in Hollywood, both for a TV show for Haunt and or a movie. It feels better than a TV show because I think it's more about episodic. They didn't actually get it, and so we're just trying to figure out. Because I keep saying the same thing. I think the concept's cool as hell,
the tough part is that we have to almost move, which just seems bizarre. You've got to move the parking, the cost of one and stuff, right? You can't do that, right? Because then you're going to lose the middle of America. It's just sort of that I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. So we're trying to figure out sort of, you know, the espionage has some components to it, the church components they like, Karen the brother, the guy, you know, the spook in the room that only one guy can see, all that they get. And then the only question is, how does that translate and work without it being what's in the comic book, because we're super visual in what we do. With the bark marking glue that comes out of it.
The blood you can get away with,
surely. And it depends on what channel, what cable, or something like that. Hey, let me go off on a little bit of a tangent here for everybody in here. Anybody that's interested in getting into the entertainment art business, the great thing about it right now, the way that our world is growing, is that you don't have to be great at everything. Right? And so I would actually say artistically, which Kevin does and what Nathan does, is really one of the more difficult jobs in art, because we have to be able to draw humans and monsters and buildings and backgrounds and draw different angles. We have to kind of be able to be kind of good enough at everything. But right now, the way the world works is that, and if we go and look at the way that I make toys and or we make video games, we have entire departments that are specialists. That's all they do. I have in the toys, I have guys and gals that all they do is paint. They have a great sense of color. They cannot draw to save their life. But they make a living as an artist, but they're a painter. I got some people who all they do is weapons. Don't know how to do a body to save their life, but they can do the coolest weapons you've ever seen. We've got other people that can do monsters, can't do a human being. I got some people that can do men, can't do women. I got some people that can do the best hair. But again, they can't do anatomy. In the video games, we have people that can do all they do their entire job is special effects, which is basically when you go and you cast this spell, it's that cool stuff, right? It's the spell. They create spells for a living, and it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Then we got guys that all they do is vista, which is mountains. And then we got guys that do buildings. We got other guys that do the lighting on the buildings. And there's all this spectrum now where sometimes I think that you guys think that you have to be sort of a jack-of-all-trades master of none, when actually if you have one skill in one of those 20 areas, you can make a hell of a living. I mean, they put them to work at a good pay rate in the video game business, and they put them to work a little bit in the toy business, and then in Hollywood, for sure they do it. So anybody that goes, and you look at a comic book and you go, I can't quite do a comic book, should not preclude you that you've got some kind of talent that you want to hone, that you want to go and get better, that you want to get practice, should not preclude you from about 50 other jobs that are out there. And for those of you that think that you got no art, then we've got a whole nother division with those video games that are the guys that are doing coding and all the IP and making sure that when we throw the switch on an MMO game, which is an online game that can be a million people playing at once for the world. And we've got just as many of those people, half this side and half that side, and they all consider themselves to be in the video game industry. So don't self edit yourself, your ambitions, if you want to actually ever be in a spot where someday you get to be talking to people with a mic in your mouth. You don't have to be able to do what it is that we do. Just find your niche. I hope you guys, if some of you here, it would be nice. If I can just see the glow on, they'll come back in 20 years and go, wow, look at those guys. They revolutionized the industry. So, yeah, next question.
Well, back in 90, it was 96, the issue of Punch-Trick, I think it was, on your Spawn. You published one of my comic arts in your image art gallery.
Oh, one of your pinups? Did I do one of your pinups, is what you say?
I did my revision of Spyblade.
Oh, okay.
And you published it, and I never got a chance to thank you. I just wanted to thank you now.
Hey, guys,
everybody here remembers the first paper got printed, right? We all remember the first break. I mean, what are you talking about? I remember the first thing that ever got. And not only did you publish it in Spawn, but you published it in Angela, the Angela series also, Angela 2.
Yeah, we used to do that Friday, because somebody gave me a break, somebody gave all these guys a break, and so even if you didn't become a pro for 20 years, just to be able to give you guys say thank you back to all the support you give all of us, because without you guys, we don't have a living here. So I'm just going to send that in. Thanks, buddy. Captain America, one of those shirts here this weekend.
I wish you would. I just want to say I'm a long time fan of yours. You're one of my inspirations while I was going on.
Oh, thanks.
So, you know, I'm front of ours now, but I kind of. But anyway, I just want to say.
Okay, what's your question, and I'll give you my commercial art stuff.
We're going to see more of you. I want to see like an art book that you put out yourself with something, maybe an attempt at something that you said you don't know if you can attempt. But I want to see something new, just to see where you're at right now artistically.
Yeah, I said it before. It's interesting that I really don't do a dramatically less amount of art these days. It's just within the form that you guys got used to. When I was doing, like, let's say, Spider-Man, writing in pencil and everything I touched got put in a book and you guys got to see it. Now what happens is I do, like, concept stuff for the video game. You know, I'm sitting sometimes in a room with 20 guys who are going over stuff, so I have control over an entire video game. I'm making notes on the, and drawings and doodles on the toys. You know, we talk over the plots here, I talk over the plots there. We talk over the artwork. I mean, everything becomes in. Shipman, I give him some kind of note there, or I'll do a drawing back to him. I ink a lot of pages. If something doesn't come in, I'll redraw it with Brendan Nathan. And I went, hey, I can put a little bit of sexy ink in on this. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? So I backed away and went, whoa, okay. So I go, I just thought to help you out. I thought I could help you deadline a little bit. Sorry, but I do a lot of it. It's just that it's so scattered now. That those 40 hours a week aren't in one spot where it used to be exclusively on the one title and one book and one thing there. So I know it's frustrating because I used to have guys and I never wanted them to leave their book. But, you know, it just takes time to be able to go and do all the things that I do and get those scripts up that I need to try and get out and have those meetings and keep the business. I can't sit in one spot anymore. Oh, I know. Here's my commercial. Here's my commercial. I went to school. I went to college. I wanted to be a baseball player, play Pac-10 baseball, right? Sports team. And then I got a degree, but I didn't want to get a normal degree, so I put together an art degree. And I had all these classes with my art classes, and they would sit there, and I would class with them every single day because the problem that we had was I wanted to be an illustrator. I don't know if any of you guys have this issue. I wanted to be an illustrator. And they wanted me to be an artist, right? And those two things, I had this conversation more than once, that they would go, what would you like to be, John? An artist. And they go, and they stare at me and they go, you know what an illustrator? You know what an illustrator is, Doc? Well, yes, but I want to be an illustrator. So they go, an illustrator is a whore. And they go, you know what a whore is, don't you? I go, yeah. And they go, you know what a whore is. Somebody comes to the whore, they say, do this, and I'll give you money, and they do it, and they take the money. You want to be an artistic whore, they will basically tell you what to draw, when to draw it, how to draw it, why to draw it, they'll give you cash, and you will just do it. Yeah! Because the difference between me and them was they wanted me to be an artiste, right? And the difference between being an illustrator, I found, and I go, well, first off, I'd like to pay the electric bill, right? And second, I'd like to have, like, someday a wife that would marry me and a little white picket fence. I was very simple on what I wanted sort of in the future. What they wanted out of me, and I don't know if you had these teachers, they wanted me to do, and I had these classes, we did an entire year of abstract pimentos. Oh, first day, we took a pimento, we cut it in half, we put it on a postcard with no other class, and for the entire year, we drew the pimento as it rotted for the entire year in 20 different kinds of styles. Now, they wanted me to be an artiste, and the artiste is, my definition, is the guy that lives in a 300-square-foot studio room with a 20-foot light bulb who doesn't really have much social skills and every now and then does a gallery showing and sells the odd painting every now and then to his parents, right? So that's what they wanted me to be. I wanted to earn a living. I was more than happy to actually be a commercial artist and be the guy who actually did the Firestone Tire Act. I was happy with that.
So I'm going to we're still whores.
Pardon me?
We're still whores.
Okay, so before we go, we usually do a Q&A. If people answer questions, we give them a prize and stuff, but it gets too convoluted, and we've got so many people going. So here's what we've done. If everybody will slowly reach underneath your chair, there are 25 tickets. You should be able to do that. You feel right on the, right here, right? Like you're grabbing, like right on your cross. Right? You should be able to feel it. It's just that somebody got one, put it up so they know what they're looking for. All right, there's going to be 25 of them. If you've got one, go down to the image booth, which is number
36,
and you will get your gift. Anyway, thanks for John Hall. Kelly, congratulations. You're crazy. And love of all Mason Bombs and all our fans on here today. Thanks for coming back.
Oh, he got it.